worship today. We have been, I'm sorry you missed it, but we've been worshiping since 8 o'clock this morning. And we are so full right now. And we are excited to share it with you. We're going to be introducing a new song later in the service. But I'm so glad you're here. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful way to start out your Sunday is being here with us, with your family. If this is your first time here, we already call you family. If you come twice, you're a member. Isn't that what we say? But I'm just so glad. People are still coming in, but let's bow our heads and pray, and then we're going to worship. Amen. God, we thank you for the sun shining down. Lord, we thank you that your presence is here. Be glorified, God, as we lift you up. It's your mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to be lifting up the name of Jesus today. So much power in the name of Jesus.
Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and storm roll.
So there was a word that Corey gave 2 weeks ago. He was speaking about imagination and having childlike faith. And this song is a song that Corey and I had on repeat. Well, we've had it on repeat since August. Hundreds and hundreds of times that we've played this over ourselves, that we've played this and we've sang it at the house, in the car, wherever. And over the last couple months, there's been many situations where I have applied it to. And when we start to sing it, you'll understand what I mean. The song is called More Than Able. More Than Able. God is more than able. And it's about applying childlike faith and going back to those things, like your childlike faith. We had a women's conference here this weekend, and it was amazing. If you missed it, girls, you're going to have another chance, I believe, in February or sometime in the spring. But the theme of it was to live like the gospel changes everything. And my friend Millie said, if you're going to live like the gospel changes everything, first you have to believe that the gospel changes everything. That's what comes first. And sometimes it's hard to believe, but if we can just apply childlike faith, if we can just apply our imagination that anything is possible with God, anything. Like with just in our own strength, not a chance. Not a chance. It's too big. It's too much. But with God, all things are possible. We got to get out of our adult thinking and our minds and the things that say, no, it's too much. No, you can't. No, you're past your prime. No, that's gone. No. We got to get back to that childlike faith. And however old you are, you used to be a child, okay? You used to have that childlike faith. Whether you're 18, whether you're 28, whether you're 88, whether you're 108, you used to have that childlike. So we need to dig deep. Say, God, help me increase my childlike faith to see that anything is possible. Anything is possible with you. Amen.
Oh, I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than stay where I'm at. We've come this far by way, and I just can't turn back. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet.
Come on, say.
There's so much more to the story.
I kind of got this picture as we were singing that there at the end. I don't know if you've ever seen those movies where you've got the little guy facing the giants or the problem, and there's no chance, but behind the little guy, this big guy steps up, right? And so the little guy is like facing his problems and just, you know, scared but going at it, and all of a sudden the giants in front of him just kind of disperse and go away because of the big guy behind the little guy. Sometimes we get so focused on what's in front of us that we forget who's behind us. Amen. God, He is able. He is more. Isn't the whole point to give glory to God? He is higher. He is greater. He can and He will. Let's get our focus and our eyes off of ourselves and the way that we feel and put them on the one who is able. Amen? Amen. Why don't you turn to somebody there next to you and encourage them. He is able. Give them a handshake. Say hello. If you don't know their name, find out their name. Be friendly this morning. Welcome you. Thank you for coming this morning to worship and to glorify God together. We're glad that you're here. If you're a guest with us and you want us to know that you're here, we have a guest card, a new here card in the back of your seat, or we have also a digital version online that you can follow and fill out the information. We'd love to just send you a note of thanks for coming, for being here. There's ways to get in contact with us through that card that you could kind of figure out what the next steps are. As a next step, if this is your first time or you've been coming for a little bit and you're wondering what's next, you want to go to Start Here. You want to go to the Start Here class. All right, Start Here is what we do once a month, every second Sunday of the month, so it's happening next week, and it's just a fireside chat of who we are, what we believe, some of the distinctives of Christian Fellowship Church. It also gives you the ability to ask some questions about whatever you want to ask about Christian Fellowship Church. So I encourage you to be there. If you've been coming to CF Paris for a while and you haven't been to a Start Here class yet, show up next week. Show up next week. I'll bribe you with donuts. There'll be donuts in the room, so come on. Pastor G will be, it's the first room on the left, right when you walk in the lobby. So come early next week. It's at 9:30. Start Here. It's great. It's a good next step. It's the next thing from being new here to go to Start Here. And then, of course, there's Serve Here. If you want to look at serving anywhere at church, you can fill that out, too, online in the different places. There's a card in your seat back. We love all of our volunteers. Thank you for all your help. The women who helped with the women's conference this weekend, that was fantastic. Good job. Good job, ladies. Good job, Miss Tracy. You did a wonderful job. Everybody did fantastic, and it was a good, solid encouragement, right? Any ladies in the room that were here this weekend for the ladies' conference? Woo, come on. Was it good? What do you tell those that didn't come? Come next time. Come next time. There'll be other opportunities, right? The women are doing a fantastic job having things of encouragement for you ladies. And be a part of that. They restarted 4x4 as well. So if you're interested in 4x4, see the ladies at the ladies' table in the lobby. We also have community groups. I'm just going to take just a little bit of time this morning and make an announcement. Is that okay? Because we don't have a video. Sorry. But I just want you to know what's going on and where you can go and what you can do to get connected to other people. Because CF Paris, our middle name, is what? Fellowship. Right. And so we're a larger church, but we're small in our groups. And we get connected to one another, and we encourage one another, and we hold each other accountable in our groups of fellowship. And so communities is a good place to get connected as well. There's one in specific that they've asked me like 6 times to announce it today, so I better not forget. It's called Focus. It's a singles group, Christian singles group. They're meeting this Saturday at 6:30 right here at 3410. And so if you're a single person and you're looking to fellowship with others that are in the same situation or similar situation as you are, that's a great place to come this Saturday at 6:30 here at 3410. There's lots of other groups that you can get connected to. You can find those online. We want you to be able to connect with others. We don't do this by ourselves. We can't do this alone. Like, some of the worst times in my life are times when I felt alone. And the enemy will do everything he can to make you feel like you're alone and no one's going through what you're going through, experiencing what you're experiencing. You've got to get in a group. You've got to get connected to a serve team or a community team because you're not alone. You're not alone. There was 2 other announcements, wasn't there? Camp. Yes, summer camp. I know it seems early to be saying summer camp, but y'all, I know you already are working on your summer plans, and I have to get kids signed up and registered to reserve spots because the camps that we do fill up pretty quick. And so information for summer camp, the dates and all that, both for middle school 6th through 8th grade and high school 9th through 12th grade is out in the lobby already. Grab a pack on your way out. Take a look, if nothing else, just to save the date and encourage your young people to get to camp. There was one more. It was Start Here. That was it. All right. That's why we do the announcement video, so I don't fumble over my words up here, but that's all. That's all you get from me today. Pastor Corey's coming up to start us off in a new series this morning. Amen. Pastor Corey, do you mind if I pray for you?
I would love it, man.
All right.
Awesome.
Let's pray for him. If you'll extend your hand forward, please. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our pastor.
Jesus.
Thank you for the anointing and the call of God on his life. Thank you for the inspiration that you've given him, the words that you've placed in his heart and in his mind to encourage us, to rally us, to mobilize us, to motivate us, to strengthen our faith, to bring us encouragement and joy, and to help us in our times of need and our times of struggle. Thank you. You've given him giftings to encourage us to keep our eyes focused on you, Jesus. Be with him this morning as he leads us and as he preaches and gives us encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Right. Hey, turn to your neighbor real quick and just say, can you imagine? With all of the faith in this room, What the Lord could do. That's powerful. Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? I want to start us off. I'm going to call the ushers forward. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. Look, what I promised, we'll get there later. Y'all are going to love today. Oh, guys, hey, bow your heads with me. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings and thank God for what he's doing right here. Lord God, I thank you with all the faith in this room. Lord God, we know, Lord, that you can do things above and beyond anything that we could ever imagine, hope, dream, think. God, I pray today, Lord Jesus, that a simple seed of faith planted, Lord God, would spring forth life. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in this place. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, now turn to your neighbor and say, you do realize the Focus Singles Group is just a singles hookup joint. And then turn to him and say, but we don't allow that. I mean, not that if God did something, we would ever say no. But that's not the point of a singles group. Guys, there are so many amazing community groups. And like Pastor Brandon was saying, look, if you're not involved in a small group, it's easy to disappear in the large group. That being said, you can be involved in a small group and still disappear. The point is relationships. That's who we are. That's what we're about. It's relationships. I'm diving right in. Man, first off, before I do, how about our ladies in that women's conference? Man, guys, look, I can't tell you how I am currently praying for a man that wants to say, hey, I know guys like to eat. And then he says, I know people that can cook, and I have just like a little 5-minute word from God. Let's do a men's thing. Because I have a lot of guys who come up to me and say, man, I heard the women were doing something. When are we going to do something? And I'm looking at them going, I don't know. When are you going to do something? We can look at each other all day long. All right, God bless. I am super humbled as well as just excited about what God's doing through our ladies. It's powerful. It's powerful to see God's hand move and touch lives. It's powerful. Today, I'm starting a new series today that I'm calling Giving Thankfully. Our Sunday school group, another one of our small groups, is a group that meets on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school group has been talking about Josiah. And the moment when they found the scrolls, these old scrolls, the word of God that was pulled out, found, and read aloud to the people. And I found it just beautiful timing. I promise you, I did not want to talk about giving thankfully this week. It's actually going to be for a couple weeks. So if you're here as a guest, you're welcome. You're going to hear the word of God. But today, what I want to do is I want to talk about the blessings of generosity. I want to talk about the blessings of generosity. And today, I'm going to lay some groundwork that we'll be coming back to over the next 2 weeks. The basic idea, the basic principle that I want you to realize is that you and I, all people, give from either a mindset of scarcity or a mindset of abundance. You can have all the money in the world and still give from a mindset of scarcity. So the same, you can have nothing to your name and you can give from a mindset of abundance. So today, what I want to do is talk about the blessings of generosity, a mindset of abundance. Because as followers of Christ, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, well, we should love to use what we have been given to make a difference. You and I should love to use what we've been given to make a difference. You and I should love to use what we've been given to make a difference. Come on, don't get squirrely on me. I mean, like, already people are starting to tighten up. But listen, we're a church that believes it's more blessed to give than to receive. Is that true or is that not true? We are a church that believes it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people get very uncomfortable when you talk about generosity in church. And to be fair, on a whole, churches have done a terrible job of staying above reproach. But worse yet, the tragic reality is that most people are not generous. Most people are not generous. Now, if you ask anybody, most would say, yeah, I'm generous, because we give. We give, and so in our mind, we're generous. But giving and being generous are two very different things. You see, anyone can give anything, anytime. But to be generous, giving thankfully is to purpose your giving around the thrill of being used by God to make a difference. Giving thankfully is so much more than just giving. Being generous is to purpose your giving around the thrill of being used by God to make a difference. Our problem is, you and I don't feel rich, and yet we are. At the same time, we feel very generous, and yet we aren't. We feel rich, or we feel like we're not rich, because we see other people that are more rich than we are. And so because of that, we don't feel like we're rich, and yet we are each extremely blessed. Extremely blessed, and yet across this room, 90-something percent would say, I'm not wealthy. And yet if we compared ourselves to the rest of the world, we'd have to acknowledge that, wow, we're blessed. Let me give you a quick statistic I read. If you drove a vehicle to church here this morning, you came in. If you drove a vehicle, if you rode in a car, you are in the top 6 to 9% of the wealthiest people in the world. None of you thought you were in the top 10. But every one of you are in the top 10. The wealthiest people in the room. Chances are this week, every single one of us drove past at least 5 to 10 different restaurants on the way to our favorite restaurant, where we sat down and somebody else brought us a meal that they cooked. And then after that meal was cooked, we got up, we left, and we let them do the dishes. Do you realize how blessed you are? You then got back in your car and you drove to your home. You pressed a little magic button and the door opened. Not the door to your home, the door to the home of your car. Some of you have multiple houses for the cars that you have. Right? And then what do? We walk into our house, our real house, not our car house, right? We walk into our house and it's climate controlled. Oh, thank you, God. Doesn't matter what time of year, I can set the temperature. If you don't like it, you can put more clothes on. Oh, it's amazing. And then if you don't give glory to God that you have a bathroom in your house, you hit a little magic lever and you've got like a magic poopy gone machine. Yeah. You don't think about it. Your stanky goes bye-bye. There are other places in all of the world where the stanky don't go bye-bye. We're blessed, and yet it's not something we think about. We are some of the wealthiest people in the world, and yet it's not something we tend to think about. Everyone in this room is blessed. We just don't typically recognize it. And then the bigger problem is, if you ask the average person, are you generous? Most people would absolutely, beyond the shadow of any doubt I have, say, yes, absolutely, I'm generous. But we're not. Statistically, the truth is, currently, the average American gives about 2.8% of what they get back into charity. Not talking about tithe, I'm just talking about they give back 2.8%. Even more shocking, if you are in a class where you make more than $100,000 a year, that percentile goes from 2.8 to 2.6. 2.6%, 2.8%. Now, look, throughout this series, I need you to hear, I am going to lean heavy on grace. Grace from you, grace from me. And I want you to know up front that this is between you and God. I'm not going to go check records. I'm not going to go look and find out who is or isn't. You're never going to receive a letter from me saying, hey, I need to tell you something. I'm not doing that. This is between you and God. But I am going to tell you what the Word of God says. And if I may be so bold as to tell you that neither one of those percentages is God-honoring. That's not generosity. That's not giving, thankfully. As followers of Christ, as followers of Jesus, you and I are called to do something different. We're called to be different than average. We're called to lead with generosity. You and I are called to lead with generosity because we believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive. As followers of Christ, that's one of our magnet refrigerators. I mean, right? That's a go-to. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you live like it's more blessed to give than to receive? The challenge, the reason why most people don't give more, is they honestly just don't feel like they can. I mean, true. Listen, I don't know anyone that doesn't want to give more. If I said to anybody, would you love to get more? I don't know a single individual who wouldn't say, I would love to be able to give more. We all would love to be able to give more. But most of us were raised with the scarcity mindset. You can hear it in our language. We'll say something to the effect of, man, I wish I could give more, but I just can't afford to. At this rate, I'm just never going to get ahead. I'm always going to be behind. You see, it's a scarcity mindset. It's a cycle within our minds that produces a lifestyle of scarcity. There's always more month than money. I'm always going to live paycheck to paycheck. I want to show you the scarcity cycle. It's this. First and foremost, what you need to understand in any given situation, it's God that supplies. God supplies, which is always the beginning. God supplies, but he uses you and I as the fountain of that supply. God always supplies, but he uses you and I as the fountain of that supply. And typically most people, when we receive for the blessings of God, what we do is we consume. We consume, we spend whatever comes in. And then at the end of the month, we realize there's not enough money left over. We're left lacking. When we consume and we're left with not enough, the dominant emotion that each and every one of us feel is fear. And in fear, what happens is a cycle. We consume more. We lack, fear grows. We consume, we lack, we fear. God supplies, we spend what we have, we lack, we fear, we consume, we lack, we fear. It's a cycle of scarcity. But as Jesus followers, you and I are supposed to have a different mindset. Instead, whenever God supplies, the very first thing that you and I should do is give. Ooh. As Jesus followers, the very first thing we should do in response to God supplying our needs, God blessing us, is we're supposed to tithe. First. As an act of worship, we return the tithe back to Him. Because of what God does, giving thankfully is what we do. Oh, y'all are like, I can hear the grumbles. It's just the stirring. We give to God first because God gave us His first. For God so loved the world that He gave His first. I think sometimes we just skim right over that. We read through it. And yet God showed us the model. He gave His first. Because of what God did for us through Jesus, we do something differently first. And when we give thankfully, God creates, it's a whole different cycle. It's no longer a cycle of scarcity, but rather it's a cycle of supply and abundance. Because of what God did for us, we love to give generously. So we give the tithe first. When we do, what does God do with that? God multiplies it. When we give the tithe first, Scripture tells us God multiplies it. We put the seed in the ground, God gives us a harvest, a bigger return. God multiplies what it is that we give. We give, God multiplies, and in that, man, our faith grows. See, now, as your faith grows, what happens? You want to give more. And as you give more, now God's multiplying more. Now what's happening? Your faith is growing. Now you're producing a cycle of abundance, a cycle of supply. Paul talked about giving to the church in Corinth. He said this in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Paul writes, he said, "You must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure." I'm going to pause right there and tell everybody right up front. I am not going to pull up any sort of thermometer with like a little red line. I am not going to take up another offering at the end of this service for anything. I'm not. Relax. I'm not even going to put the thermometer up in the hall out there. Like, there's no thermometer, no red line, no mark, right? This is between you and God. In fact, more so than this is between you and God, you must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. In other words, if you feel manipulated, if you feel pressure from me, don't give. That's not me saying it. That's the word of God. Like, you can't even argue with me. And yet I'm telling you, if that's your thought, do not give. Why? For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. We're giving thankfully, cheerfully, joyfully. We really believe that it's a blessing to give more so than to receive. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. It's a blessing to be generous to others. And then what happens? And then God will generously provide all you need. Look, this isn't lack. This isn't scarcity. God's providing. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. Look, the purpose of God's supply in your life is for you to give generously. That's how faith is built. When God blesses us, we give, and then God provides abundantly more. We have everything that we need, and what happens? The people we live among, see the awesome work that God is doing, and they praise God. Amen. They thank God. The community that you live in, God loves it when we're generous. And what does God do? As Jesus followers, we give thankfully, and God multiplies abundantly. Verse 10 continues, it says this, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat." Notice it's not your seed that provides the bread either. God gives us the seed to sow. God gives us something to plant. And then it's God who gives us the resources to give and the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. Look, this isn't scarcity. This is now abundance. This is blessing. God multiplies, increases your resources, and then produces a cycle of generosity both in you and in the area that you live in, becoming even more generous. Then scripture says he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Why does God supply? So you can be more generous. Why does God supply? So you can be more generous. They are going to thank God. The people you live among are going to praise God. That's an amazing thought to think. The people you live among will see the awesome work that I, the Lord, will do for you. How do they see it? How do they see it? When God blesses us, we worship him in an act of honor. Then God multiplies it. It builds our faith. We give more. And suddenly, instead of a cycle of scarcity, we experience the abundance of God. He creates a harvest of generosity within us. Look, scripture even goes so far as to say if you don't tithe, you're actually robbing from God. But we're not going to dwell on that scripture today. When you see the provisions of God in whatever area, in whatever way, in whatever area of life that you can imagine, when you see the provision of God, it changes you. And tithing breaks the cycle of scarcity. It creates a cycle of abundance, of supply in your life. Now, because we're all sitting here scared about it, what does it mean to tithe? Tithe is a Hebrew word that literally, very literally translated, means one-tenth, 10%. 10% of everything that comes to us, we give back to God in an act of worship. People will automatically come back with, well, that's Old Testament times. We live in the New Testament now. That was under the law. And yet you go all the way back to Abraham, even before the law existed, and you see that Abraham returned his first increase back to God. God blessed him because of it. Jump into the New Testament, and in two different occasions you hear Jesus say, Yes, you should tithe, and do not forget the more important matters of the law. I think a lot of times we end up just kind of mistranslating what he was saying, because in other words, Jesus is saying tithing is assumed as just what we do. Of course we tithe. Now, again, I am not going to check records. This is not what this is. This is truly because I know that you and I need to hear it. If we don't understand what it is that the Word of God says, if we don't look back finding the scrolls and see how God talks about what giving is, then how are we going to know? We need this. But I pray you remember, you must decide in your heart how much to give. But I am going to tell you what I believe God's Word tells us about this. Because I truly believe that it's a blessing to you and it's freeing for your life. And if you only give 2.8%, my hope today in hearing God's Word is that next week you're thinking about increasing that to 3, from 3 to 4, from 4 to 5. Hear me. This is for everybody. If you're here this morning and you give 20%, I want you to know, I recognize you've already seen a cycle of abundance in your life, but I'm here to encourage you to take 20 up to 30. Why not? Do we want to read in the Old Testament how what they actually gave was closer to 33%? We're not going to go there. We're not doing that. All right. So, three quick thoughts that I want to give you about the power of the tithe and how it brings about the cycle of abundance in our life. What does the tithe do? Very literally, number one, the tithe teaches us to put God first. Tithing teaches us to put God first. Deuteronomy 14:23 says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. It teaches you to always put God first. Look, there's so many here this morning that are thinking I should have slept in this morning. I thought that extra hour. Look, I'm telling you, you got that extra hour because God knew you needed to be here. But our mindset immediately goes to, look, Corey, things are tight right now. And for me to tithe, for me to give, I'd have to rearrange my whole life around God. Corey, you don't understand. I'd have to make massive changes. Yeah. I hear you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Why? Why? Because it takes faith to give first. You have to believe in God to do it. It doesn't take faith, hear me, it doesn't take faith to give last. It doesn't take faith to give last. When I tithe, it reminds me in a very, very tangible way, God, because of what you've done for me, it's my honor to give back to you. It's a rearranging, it's a prioritizing of my life around Him, around God as Lord of all. Believing and living like the gospel changes everything. Tithing teaches us to put God first. The second thing tithing does, tithing builds our faith. 2 Corinthians 9:7. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Look, God's straight up telling you, 90% with God's blessing goes so much farther, exponentially farther than 100% in your hands. If you start with giving, you'll see the blessings of God. God will generously provide. Yes. And what happens? You get crazy passionate about seeing more. When God provides in your life, you can either sit back and enjoy it, or you can recognize the blessing that you have and start a cycle of abundance. It builds your faith. It's powerful. It's freeing. And it's nothing like where most Americans live today, in scarcity. The tithe teaches us to put God first. It builds our faith. And then without apology, number three, Tithing provides for the work of God's church. And the hush. Without apology, tithing provides for the work of God's church. You start with the tithe, you see God's provision, and then it blesses you to give more. I don't think you even realize all the different aspects of life that this body of believers is touching. I don't know if you recognize the hand that this community of believers is all about. The lives that are being changed. When you see God's provision, it blesses you to give more. And now you're not just tithing. Now you're giving offerings. This is me. I don't think offerings even begin until after you've tithed. This is me. And again, I'll never put any pressure on anybody. But in those moments of tithing, you're rearranging your whole life. You're recognizing that what God has given you is not actually for you at all. But it can be used to make an impact and a difference. That's what it does when you return 10% into God's church. A lot gets done. Malachi 3:10 and 11 says this, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house." What's crazy is that this is the only place anywhere in all of Scripture that God says you're allowed to test him. Jesus even looked at Satan and said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." God looks at this situation and says, "Try me." This area? Test me in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out showers upon your life. Showers of blessing. Come on. Try me. Put me to the test. See if my economy is not different than this world's. See, the world says consume, lack, fear. Consume, lack, and fear. But God says when you give to me first, see if I don't multiply it, building your faith, creating a harvest of generosity in your life. I'll dare to even say that what God wants to do in a community is often stifled by the hands that hold on to God's blessing. When we keep from tithing, we hold tight to the very resources that God has poured out for a local community. Remember what we said. First, God supplies. It's God supplying. It's always God's supply. God supplies, but what? He uses it how? It's you and I. You and I are the fountain of that supply. You and I are the fountain of that supply. The provision for any need in our community has already been supplied within the local body. I truly believe that not just the needs within a community, but even the dream and vision that God has given the local church, I believe the provision for that dream has already been supplied within the local church body. I'm going to call the band up. We're going to close out this morning. Again, I'm not going to take up an offering. Y'all relax. Let me ask you this. I was humbled and yet, has that been off to the side the whole time? Did I just notice that? Sorry, cameraman. Sorry, OCD. I'm now going to think about it a lot. Last week was amazing. I don't know if you were, how many people were here to hear Pastor Shannon speak last week? Come on. Amazing. One of the things that really impressed me in his his main line there, like I've got a great work, I'm not coming down. One of the things that impressed me as I sat there and thought about it, that the workers would have a sword and they would also have their work tool. They were equipped and ready with both. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Like we need that sword. We need to be ready to fight. And at the same time, we also need to be ready to work. But working is understanding the trade. It's understanding what it is that God has you doing. When I first started about this series, it wasn't going to be this. I wanted to come off of Rise Up, A Simple Seed of Faith, and I was going to talk about next steps. What are these steps of faith? I'm excited about this, guys, and I pray that you are, because I pray that you recognize, like we should, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Again, last week, kind of humbled and yet emblazoned, empowered as well. Pastor Shannon flat out looked at me and he said, "Stop apologizing." Let me ask you this. Across this room, show of hands. And again, this feels weird coming from me, but I pray you can just answer truthfully. If your heart, if your life has been changed spiritually because of the work that's happening in this church, would you be so kind as to raise your hand? That's awesome. That's powerful. That's powerful. The work that God is doing is being done because somebody else gave. Your life is changed today because somebody else gave a tithe, a gift. Your life was impacted because somebody else tithed here. And if I could even begin to tell you that the hands you see across this room doesn't begin to account for the number of lives that everyone in this room is now a part of changing. When we give, we're a part of changing lives for eternity. When we give, we're a part of changing somebody else's, the community that we live in. We're a part of changing lives eternally. Because of what God did first, this is what we do. We give. God multiplies. Our faith grows, and we give more. And when we give, God creates in us a harvest of generosity. And when we give, it's the community that we live among. They thank God. It's the people that thank God. Because God gave first. Because of what God did, this is just what we do. We give thankfully. We purpose our giving around the thrill of being used by God to make a difference. That's powerful. We purpose our giving around the thrill of being used by God to make a difference. And God is glorified when we live a life of giving thankfully. I'm going to close. Y'all stand with me. I'm going to pray for us. I do have a prayer specifically for some people here this morning that I want to pray as well. But after that, I'm going to ask the band to just play us out on, can you imagine if all of the faith in the room, what the Lord could do? Because it's our faith coming together that builds life. It's our faith coming together that changes hearts. It's our faith coming together that changes this community. And then the people we live among will see how awesome the work it is that I, the Lord, will do for you. Bow your heads with me. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing right here in this place, Lord. And I pray that even now you would empower each and every individual in this room. no matter what percentage they may be at, Lord God, rather that their heart would be turned to a cycle of generosity, to a manner, Lord God, of recognizing that we are blessed and that we get the opportunity to use what we've been given to be a blessing. Father, you've blessed us so much so that we can be a blessing right here. Lord, I pray today for faith to increase. Lord, I pray that you would put in us, Lord God, the desire and the heart to seek you first in every area, in every aspect of our lives, Lord God. But this morning, I specifically pray for those, Lord Jesus, that are wanting to give first to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, look, I just want to do this. I want to pray for those that want to step out in faith this morning to say, Corey, I want to increase. I don't care if it's 1% going to 2. I don't care if it's 20% going to 30. If you're here this morning and you're like, Corey, I believe that God is telling me, changing my heart to believe for generosity, and I want to step out in faith and give more. If that's you, again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just real quickly raise your hand, I want to pray for you where you're at. Amen. Across the room. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for a body of believers coming together, Lord God, and for those that are believing and trusting in you, for those that are recognizing, God, that it is you that provides. It is you that provides, Lord God, and because